the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Hey, welcome back. It is Will O'Callaghan in for Matt Cooper today. It is time for us to talk personal finance. Charlie Weston from the Irish Independent is with us. And like, Charlie, I have to start with fuel because this is impacting everybody. You know, we've seen what's happened with the protests over the last couple of weeks. We then saw the carbon tax being pushed down the road a little bit, but realistically, the pumps, it looks like diesel is going to become more and more expensive anyway.
Diesel is the one that's just going through the roof, isn't it? It's a lot of it's coming from the Middle East. That's where the refining is. But look, at today, at least, it's not huge, but that 10 cents cut in the excise duty on diesel and 10 cents on petrol, that takes effect from today. It includes as well then 2.4 cents coming off the green diesel, bringing that reduction to 7.4. So look at between the different cuts to the excise duty, 32 cents has come off diesel, 27 cents has come off petrol. That's the good news. The bad news is the prices are all over the place because the commodity crude is up and down. It's a barrel of Brent crude at the moment is 95.50. At least it's back under 100. It was hovering around 100 when I looked at it yesterday. So that's good news. So, your garage, if you're getting a fill-up, it should have come down to 10 cents. And a lot of them have, because I'm in a WhatsApp group in the Irish Independent, and people from around the country, the correspondents around the country, were asked to send in pictures today, early this morning and later today. And an awful lot of garages, to be fair, around the country have cut that 10 cents. Even though Fuels for Ireland are saying mightn't happen immediately because it really depends on when the fuel leaves the terminal or refinery, that's when the lower excise duty applies. So look at it, there has been huge increases in the last while. I published the AA fuel survey earlier in the week, and it showed that in the last 2 months, for example, your litre of diesel is up 42 cents and your litre of petrol is up 18 cents. So, and it's very volatile as well. You know, and obviously last week we had garages running out of petrol because of the protests. So, it's very difficult. But these are some of the biggest increases we've seen since the 70s. And few of us can remember that. But, you know, the massive shocks in the 70s. So it takes about 45 days for an oil tanker to get from the Gulf to here, if it can get here at all. So,
It's not quite the same imagery as we saw in the 70s, but we did see, if anyone watches Reeling in the Years, they will see people, carrying tanks of petrol home to make sure they still have fuel to stick into their car. We didn't quite get to that level. We did get to the point where it almost went dry last week.
Well, it did. A number of garages. Nearly 600 garages just had to shut down. And back in the 70s, people had to queue. I remember my father telling me, had to queue for petrol and only got served in the garage because they knew him. They were prioritising regular customers. And then back then as well, the problem was that we were generating an awful lot of electricity from oil. We've stopped doing that. So at least it's gas. But gas prices are, they're up a fair bit as well. But, where's petrol and diesel prices going to go? It really depends on these talks in the States. That's what's determining the crude price. The problem here is the crude price. Yes, there's loads of taxes and excise duties and VAT and various levies on petrol and diesel, but the big problem is
the bottom line cost has gone up at the same time.
The bottom line is it's crude is what's killing us here, and it's all over the place. And unless they can get some kind of a ceasefire, long term ceasefire, and the Straits of Hormuz open, we could be facing into a couple of months of very volatile prices.
Usually I'd say to you, as volatile as the price might be, maybe you can chop around, go garage to garage, see what it is. But there doesn't seem, at least from what I've seen the last week or so, a massive difference between garages at the moment. They're all hitting roughly the same numbers.
They are, and people are not inclined to drive around. I mean, certainly they weren't last week anyway. You get it when you can get it. And if you happen to be passing somewhere, it's good value. You're going to fill up and keep it filled up. And, we're back to something we haven't seen for a long time in this country as well. Some people are buying canisters and filling it up and keeping a canister in the garage of petrol or diesel, just in case. You never know.
I saw a guy in the news last week. He had two potato sacks, essentially, with two canisters each in them. And he was basically filling up as much as he could. And his argument was, I'm buying them at this price today. I've no guarantee that next week it's going to be at the same price.
Price and supply are the two big issues. The price might be even higher. And will there be sufficient supply? We just don't know.
Kind of related to all this as well. We go from fueling your car to fueling your home. And at this stage as well, Charlie, it looks like the amount of people who are in arrears on their energy bills are going to just get higher as well.
Yeah, there's predictions that that will go higher. I mean, some questions asked in the Dáil and of the regulator by a Labour TD, Ciarán O'Hearn. He just wanted the regulator to put a value on the arrears that are out there. There was huge numbers of people in arrears on their energy bills. 315,000 are behind on their electricity bills, 178,000 on their gas bills. What's that worth? What's that worth? How much is that costing the energy companies? Well, it's 186 million euros. 186 million euros. Huge amount, Will. And I've been talking to some people, like, for example, as an energy expert in UCC that I talk a lot to, Dr. Paul Dean. He reckons maybe the government should target more supports at those sort of people rather than, you know, petrol and diesel. And he says maybe the government should consider writing off some of those arrears, you know. Now, that's controversial because the energy companies will keep saying to me, they whisper to me, hold on a minute here, some of these people are deliberately not paying. Obviously, an awful lot of them can't pay. Some of them are deliberately not paying because there's little consequence sometimes.
It could encourage more people to default if they hear that Jimmy down the road actually got a write-off.
So it's a difficult one, yeah. So, you know, but look, it's pretty unsustainable. If energy companies are collectively carrying arrears figures of 186 million, that's 186 million in price cuts that you won't get, you know. Yeah. And there could well be price increases in the coming months because of a shortage of gas. We use so much gas in this country to produce electricity, but half of the electricity produced in the country is gas, you know. If gas prices stay elevated, that'll translate eventually into higher electricity prices once the energy companies work through these hedging arrangements or these long-term contracts that they have. So, you know, large numbers are in arrears. It continues to be a problem and will probably just get worse, unfortunately.
Yeah, presumably they're not going to come down. I know we get a lot of our gas from the Northern Sea as opposed to from further afield, but still at the same time, if there's international pressure on gas, naturally prices...
The price is determined internationally. We do get, you know, a chunk of it still from Corrib, but it's been sold into the market at the international price. Unfortunately, that's just the way it is. And you know, oil tankers, a lot of the gas facilities in the Middle East, some of them have been damaged, particularly the big one in Qatar. Raf Lafan or something it's called. So, yeah, you'd worry a bit about the gas price, but hopefully it won't be too bad. That's the good news. You know, the energy experts tell me it's the gas prices, wholesale gas prices are not going up anything like oil prices. That's the good news. So hopefully, we won't get wholesale increases in the summer or later in the winter.
The one that kind of surprised me was the other story that we're going to talk about now, which is the amount of people doing home improvements and are doing renovations and works in their houses at the moment, because I kind of thought at a time when there was a pressure on that actually wouldn't be much spending, but quite a few households across the country are doing work on their house at the moment.
It is. This is counterintuitive, isn't it? Mm. You know, you would think we're in the cost of living crisis, we've an energy crisis, people are, you know, feeling the pinch, you're not going to spend on a big spending like a house renovation or an extension or, you know, getting the roof repaired. But people are, and it's because for a number of reasons. Some in about 250,000 households, people want to move to a bigger house. So maybe start in an apartment or starter home, and then they now have a family and they need a bigger house, but they can't move because there just isn't sufficient properties out there to buy, whether they're new or secondhand. So they'll do an extension or do some works. In other cases, it's because they do to do a job on a roof or something that has to be done, or else they're doing some retrofitting as a way to counteract higher energy costs that are on the way, and they're elevated anyway. So there's actually, you know, this is research that was done as part of the Credit Union Consumer Sentiment Survey. It found that there's actually huge numbers of people are actually carrying out home improvements. And they're borrowing money, or else they're using savings. They're borrowing from credit unions. So it's not what you would have thought. You would have thought, oh, you know, this is not the time to do this. It's hard to get contractors. It's hard to get builders. And it's very expensive as well.
It is. Now, I know there's some grants that are available and some more grants became available earlier this year. But obviously people are feeling, maybe through necessity, as you just said, if you're in a situation whereby I have to renovate the attic or I have to do an extension because of my family situation. But people have obviously felt it's worthwhile.
Yeah, and you're right about the grants. I mean, these grants for retrofitting, for improving the energy efficiency of your home, they went up at the start of the year. For example, if you're getting a cavity wall insulated, the grant on that just went up from 1,700 to 1,800. Attic insulation grant from 1,500 to 2,000. So that's helped a bit. That's encouraging more people to do those kind of jobs. And you will get payback from something like that. If your attic is not insulated, that's a major problem in terms of heat retention. And it will pay back in spades. Panels, obviously, is a different matter. It's going to take much longer to get to to get that to pay back. But there's a huge increase in queries to solar panel companies.
Especially if this is going to be your home for life, you want to try and get as much efficiency out as you possibly can.
Yeah, people are thinking along those lines, I hear that solar panel companies are run off their feet. It's going to be very busy for them in the next while.
Interesting times, Ed. Charlie, thanks a million for joining us.
The last word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.